And you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. It is 8:21. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Joining me on the phone lines is U.S. Representative Rick Crawford. And Mr. Crawford, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you this morning, sir.
You bet. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. So kind of give us an update on things that you are working on right now.
Well, there's just not a whole heck of a lot going on in Washington right now. We would like to see maybe some more hearings, kind of tracking how the Farm Bill is being implemented. There were some new provisions in the Farm Bill, nothing too earth-shaking, but we just haven't been given much of an opportunity to do those kinds of things. On the transportation side, there is talk about marking up an infrastructure bill sometime this month, and we really don't know what that's going to contain, but we know that there's been talk about a $2 trillion figure over a 25-year period, 20 to 25-year period, and it'll be interesting to see how they intend to pay for that. That's a big, big chunk. But so we haven't seen a heck of a lot on what's going on with regard to an infrastructure package. I think we can all agree we need to improve our infrastructure, but we also need to understand that, you know, taxpayer money is a finite resource, and so we're going to have to be good stewards with that and also figure out how we leverage non-federal funding and public-private partnerships and things of that nature.
Right. And let me ask you a little bit about we heard that that President Trump had issued more tariffs against China. Kind of your thoughts on that, and do you expect retaliation, or your thoughts on that with the China tariffs?
I think rhetorically there'll be some retaliation. I think the reality is, though, that China's economy is in a very precarious position. I think that they are perceived to be much stronger than they are in reality, and I think most of the analysis that I've seen bears that out. What that means is they're probably going to be forced to come back to the table. In fact, I think they've already acknowledged that they are coming back to the table. I think there was a meeting scheduled for G20 with Xi and President Trump. So I think they're already in the process of saying, okay, let's take another run at it. In the meantime, the president has implemented these further tariffs on an additional $250 billion in goods. And so I think that does put considerably more pressure on the Chinese. And a lot of things that I think probably, you know, as Americans, we didn't realize. Number one, you know, I think the heart of this, China is an honor-based culture, and that means that Xi Jinping has to go back and explain to 1.3 billion Chinese people that he didn't get the bad end of the deal with Trump. And I think this is really at the heart of the problem, is that he has to save face. He's the president for life, ostensibly, and he has to go back home and explain to, you know, a large population in a face-saving way that he came away with an acceptable deal. And I think that's kind of what's complicating this issue as much as anything. The other interesting thing is, over the course of last year, their foreign direct investment in China went down tremendously. And for a variety of reasons, China just was not the preferred destination for foreign direct investment, as it had been for a long, long time. So there are other economies in the Pacific Rim, for example, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Vietnam in particular, that have attracted foreign direct investment for a variety of reasons, and that has declined considerably in China. So that is also exacerbating the problem for China with regard to their economy. So yes, they're a large economy, but so is the United States, and they certainly need access to the U.S. market. They would like to have unfettered access to the U.S. market, and that's part of the problem, is that, you know, the WTO has really never held them to account. They've been in the WTO now almost 20 years, or roughly 20 years, and they're not playing by the same rules as everybody else. They routinely issue false reports, misstating things like commodity stocks. And this is what drove down the price of soybeans and why we're suffering through this glut of soybeans on the world market. It's largely attributed to China's deliberate misstatements. And so what the president is doing is what the WTO won't do, and that is to hold China to account.
Do you anticipate this, you know, kind of trickling down to Arkansas consumers and maybe increasing what they pay on products, or maybe even with farmers and that? Do you expect those kinds of repercussions as a result of this?
I think we will probably see, as much as anything, you know, see what the markets do in the immediate term. That is today, tomorrow, next week, even the rest of this month. That's where you start to see a barometer of kind of the market effects, how it impacts folks here at home. It's hard to anticipate because, you know, retooling the supply chain is a lengthy process. And so in the short term, there's likely to be some discomfort felt by everybody. In the long term, you know, what's being teed up here is a sort of a different model. We're not dependent on China for a variety of things that have been manufactured there for a long, long time that we just, you know, we take for granted. So we're going to be looking at other countries like Malaysia and Singapore, Vietnam, and others that are going to step up and fill that void. They're going to be given the opportunity to do that. I think China knows that as well, and I think, quite frankly, that's got them a little bit on edge because they know that they're not going to be the only game in town. And so with a decline in foreign direct investment to China and other markets in the Pacific Rim being more attractive, quite frankly, the Chinese labor market has become less attractive because their labor costs have gone up in the last few years. And so you're going to have a lot of, you know, companies that had manufacturing facilities in China that are moving, looking elsewhere. And the other thing is, I think the secret's out. China has been, basically, the cost of doing business in China is forced technology transfers and intellectual property theft. And those days are over. They've been called out. And I think not only are the United States saying this is untenable, we're not going to stand for it, but I think other countries are starting to see that as well. You know, hey, we can find a better deal in some of these other nations and not have to sacrifice our intellectual property. That's a better deal. And that's why I think you're going to see the foreign direct investment in China continue to decline and other destinations step up for things like manufacturing and so on.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford joining us here on KASU. Mr. Crawford, your thoughts on the latest involving the Mueller report and also with Attorney General Barr, and that kind of, I want to get your thoughts on that as we continue to move forward in this process.
Well, I want to be careful that, you know, I want to make some observations here about some individuals that are really, as much as anything, based on these individuals. So, you know, you can see this through a political lens if you want to, but I'm just saying that back in 1998, the current chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Jared Nadler, insisted that the findings from the Ken Starr report, special prosecutor during the Clinton years, not be made public. And he made these impassioned arguments, and he cited chapter and verse, how he was on the right side of that issue, and here's why, and here's precedent for it, and all that. Now he's making the argument that is 180 degrees out of that position. So it's amazing to me how the politics drive people's perspectives. Now he's the chairman of the judiciary, and he's in a position to demand this information that he absolutely 100% was four square against back in 1998. So, you know, what's changed in that period of time? Well, he doesn't like the president. So therefore, his politics have changed, and his perspective on legal matters has changed, and really no other explanation for that. He just has a great disdain for the current occupant of the White House. Therefore, he doesn't have to think about what he may have said in previous years, and that doesn't matter. What matters is what he feels today. And that's unfortunate that has come to this. Quite frankly, Attorney General Barr has followed the law. He followed the law and was held in contempt by the Judiciary Committee, and that vote has been sent to the full House for consideration. From a guy who followed the law. So the comparison to Eric Holder and his contempt citation, there is no comparison. And so it's a dog and pony show, and this is about doing everything they can to weaken President Trump in advance of the 2020 election. There's a whole lot of things going on in the world right now that we need to be focused on. And quite frankly, we need the judiciary's help on. For example, the immigration problem on our southern border, and we are so woefully understaffed to help adjudicate these incoming immigrants and determine their, you know, the legitimacy of their asylum claims and so on. You know what? Chairman of the judiciary could help. He could be integral and should be integral in the process of reforming that so that we can improve the staffing and the resources available to address our immigration problem down on the southern border. He's just not doing that. All he's focused on is Attorney General Barr and the Mueller report. So, I mean, we've got a lot of other things to worry about right now.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for joining us. Now, we will not have you on next month, but we'll pick it back up in July. So just want to let you know about that. But thank you so much joining us, as always.